is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:42. We are Oilers stories of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and major hockey news around the world. We've been talking a lot about Edmonton Oil Kings and the NHL draft. The reason, of course, is because the Edmonton Oilers are basically looking forward to the draft, and the Edmonton Oil Kings are looking forward to game number two of their first-round series against Kootenay tomorrow night. We have the game, by the way, 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon with Corey Graham and Kent Simpson. Joined now by Robert Cleave from Jets Nation and Flames Nation and various parts on the internet. Robert, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me, Alan.
Let's talk a little bit about Winnipeg. They're an unusual team. I've been following them all year because it's nice to have the Jets back in the league. But they're solid 5-by-5, and they rack the Cosba at home. But on the road and on special teams, they're basically a hair better than the Oakland Seals. Is that right?
And on the road, on special teams, they're about 4 or 5 leagues below the Oakland Seals, frankly. They're sad away from home. On special teams, actually ran the numbers the other day, and they're somewhere around minus 20 or thereabouts in terms of goal differential, and they've earned every last minus of that between combined power play and penalty killing, because they're getting outshot and they can't stop the puck on the PK. They've earned every one of those goals, believe me.
So is it like it's almost mathematically impossible to do that, to have ability at the home and then not have the same ability on the road? Is there an answer for this? Is there something in the numbers that indicates what's gone wrong on the road?
Well, the funny thing is, when I looked at them, it's everything has gone wrong. Their goalies don't stop as many pucks. They don't make quite as many shots on the power play. But they give up a lot of shots, too, a lot more away from home. And really, when I watch their power play, and this is at home and away, I mean, really, they get away with it at home because a lot of pucks go in. But teams have pretty much figured out if you pressure the points, that's where the action is on Winnipeg's power play, because that's where their better players are. Byfuglien, Enstrom, Bogosian, those are the guys that are going to generate offense on their power play. And, you know, away from home, it just doesn't seem like they can win enough races to pucks and get enough clear space for those guys to operate. So I wish it was one thing, but it's a myriad of things that's really happening there.
It's really driven home because they're on the road tonight in Nashville. Nashville has the 6th best record at home in the National Hockey League. Winnipeg's number 7. This shouldn't be a question of them being in the playoffs based on how they impact games at home when they're at home.
Yeah, really. The biggest thing to me is if they could have fixed their special teams away from home at some point, I don't think we'd be talking about them scuffling to get in the playoffs, because everything else has sort of been there. They've been good enough 5-on-5. You know, they were certainly good enough last night. Washington quit playing when it was 3-0.
That was brutal.
And Winnipeg played really well. Washington really quit, too. I mean, that was the other part of it. But they're good enough to get by, I think, 5-on-5. Not to be great, but to be competent. Like I said, it's really the special teams away from home that have you just watch it and go, there's no way you can win playing that way. And in all honesty, my sense is the goaltending isn't quite as good away from home either. It's Pavlik's okay. But really, if you look at his overall numbers, he's just okay. And that's really, I think, where it comes in. Just a lot of things just don't happen. I don't know if it's the crowd. I try not to buy that as a rule because, you know, other teams have boisterous crowds as well. And the difference just doesn't seem quite as extreme. So it could be just one of those years. And I think that's always the thing you look at, you know, small sample size, right?
Yeah. It's interesting now, looking at the standing, Washington drives me nuts as a team. Like last night, all they had to do was play 3 periods. They're up 3-0, and if they win last night, they're at 84 points. Winnipeg is a distant bell by that time, and they're even getting a little bit of clearance on Buffalo. But right now, Washington has 75 games, 82 points. Buffalo has 75 games, 82 points. Winnipeg has a game in hand. They're 4 points back. They have a tough game tonight, but should they win, they're really right back in this, and it's a neck-and-neck race, basically.
No, absolutely. And I'm with you there on Washington. I watch that team, and I know they've had some injuries, and I mean, I'm not going to diminish what Backstrom means, because he's a really good player. You can't just pull that out of a roster unless you're Pittsburgh, right? They can do that. But Washington couldn't do that, and I sort of see that, but Yeah, last night, after it got to 3-0, you just wonder what was going through anyone's heads. They were probably tired from the back-to-back. I don't doubt that. But, you know, back-to-backs are a way of life, especially for teams in the East.
Yeah.
Play them all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
That's just how it is. You play away, you come home, or vice versa. Eastern Seaboard teams go through this all the time, and, you know, they looked like a complete disaster the last 30 minutes last night. I don't think Dale Hunter's long for that team. I'd be really surprised if he's coaching them next year. They just don't look like a team that has it together.
If I were him, I'd pass on the opportunity to coach them.
Yeah, I'd go back to London if I was him. That's a way better situation, because that team, you just don't see it, right?
Well, when you're paying a guy that much money, and I'm not blaming Ovechkin, I'm talking about Semin and the entire team, when you're up 3-0 and the game's that important, for you to lose the game, and I said all the right things afterwards, but this has been a case in Washington for a long time. Like, they're the most frustrating team in the National Hockey League. If you're a fan of the Washington Capitals, you should just take up fishing or something, because they're impossible to cheer for.
Yeah, it must be just, you know, to watch that high-end talent play, and then really the results just aren't there. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I said it's a lot more frustrating to watch them. If I was watching them, I'd be a lot more upset than watching Winnipeg the way I am, because, you know, I understand the limitations of Winnipeg's talent right now.
Speaking of big turnarounds, I saw Blake Wheeler early in the year, and he looked wooden. I mean, he looked like Brad Isbister uninterested. It was unbelievable how bad he looked. And since December 1st, he's a house on fire. What was there anything that changed? Did he move up the depth chart? What happened to Blake Wheeler this year?
Well, I think a few things happened. He had just a terrible run of luck early in the season. I think at one point he had like 44 shots without a goal. He's a better player than that. And I think everyone got a little frustrated, including him, and he ended up being kind of pushed down the depth chart. Once he started to score, though, he got a few pucks going in. And the other thing to keep in mind about Winnipeg, Claude Noel's done a really interesting thing. He's absolutely buried Jim Slater. I mean, starting his own end all the time, play the toughs all the time. Slater and Glass have just eaten that all year. Well, as a result, of course, it means your top six gets easier minutes. And Wheeler's had a little easier go of it. He's had some softer minutes. He's had some offensive opportunities. But he's skating. I mean, the big thing you really notice, even when he's playing against other good players, his skating has he's a danger. And off the rush, he's hard to handle. He's a big guy. He can really move. And I think teams, you know, like a lot of big guys, you sort of underestimate the speed. By the time he's by you, it's too late. I think that's the biggest thing in terms of his own personal play, is he's moving. But, you know, Claude Noel's helped him out a little bit, too, and he's helped out the other top six forwards along the way.
When I look at the Jets roster and I see Kyle Wellwood, you know, had a good season, but if he's on your second line, you probably need an upgrade there. Is that what we'll see over the summer, maybe some other pieces added to Kane and then that top line?
They need two forwards. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Even under ideal circumstances, you know, you keep Wellwood around, they keep Antropov. In practical terms, they've got seven guys that can really play in a top nine, mm-hmm. and then it's just parts. And as I said, Noel's done an interesting thing by using Slater and Glass in some really heavy minutes. But for a long-term solution, yeah, they need at least two forwards. And I really think the one thing they could use is a guy who can pull the strings on the power play on the half wall. I think that would help a lot with just generating some offense and taking some of the attention away from teams jamming the tops of the points there with Bufflin and Enstrom, because that's the sensible move to make against Winnipeg right now. Put a guy with some skill on the half wall, that tends to be a little bit of a dicier proposition. And I think that has to be where they look. Now, are they going to spend the money to do that? That's a different question. They certainly didn't look like they were interested this year. I think people will give them a pass because you want to see what kind of team you have, but if you're looking down the line, yeah, they need a couple of forwards that can play, there's no doubt, and probably one more defenseman that can play with Bogosian and give them a proper top four, someone better than Hainsey.
I ask every Winnipeg Jet observer this question. Dustin Bufflin, better at forward, or do you keep him on the blue line?
Oh, he has to stay in defense. That's not even a question anymore. He's one of the things, and I'm cribbing one of your lines here. It takes time for young defensemen, mm-hmm. and people forget because he's 26. He's played maybe 200 games as a defenseman in the NHL. He's just learning the position, and he has a bit of a wild streak as it is. Charlie Huddy's done a pretty good job with him, though. I think the last 30 games, And, you know, really when he when they got the Jets kind of got out of that wallowing start of theirs at the beginning of the year, he's been pretty good. And I think they should leave him there. He has his flaws. You have to accept him for what he is. But, no, I think at forward he's just another guy. On defense, he can really be involved in the play. And generally speaking, that's still more good than bad. He should stay on defense. I don't think there's any doubt. He's playing some pretty tough minutes this year, and he's surviving them. I don't have a problem with his play at all.
Is Kane's future more valuable than Bogosian or vice versa?
Well, they're probably about equal, to tell you the truth, because, you know, Bogosian's only 21. You really hope at some point he's the guy that just plays every tough situation, and he's getting there. He's been better this year, and you have to hope Kane ends up being your number one left winger. So I don't know if it's you're picking one or the other. If they're going anywhere as a team, the two of them have to be in the, you know, three or four best players on the team every night in every situation. That's the development that has to happen. Be interesting to see what kind of money Kane gets this season. He's RFA this summer.
Well, all I know is that once upon a time the Jets traded Bo Mironov to the Oilers, and I would really appreciate it if they could send Zach Bogosian over now.
I'm sure they'll get right on that because, you know, watching the Oilers, and I do watch them still a fair bit, yeah, they could use a little help on defense, Alan. They might be lacking there somewhat. Although I think your GM's probably going to trade a forward to get a defenseman. But
yeah, do you think Gagner will go?
What's that?
Do you think Gagner's the guy to go?
Well, on your team, yeah, I think so. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a good idea, but just given the way the team is set up right now, I'm suspecting he's probably the most valuable piece they're willing to trade. Let's maybe put it that way. And if he's the guy, then, you know, you might be able to get a top four defenseman for him that can help out. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, you've got some issues, and you're counting on Ryan Whitney to be a top four guy, and I'm thinking that's maybe a little bit of folly.
Well, the problem with Whitney is, will he ever be able to skate again, like laterally, or move? Like he turns circles like Mike Greer used to now, and you know, not to be critical, but that surgery has really impacted his game.
Oh, he's not the same guy. I mean, I don't blame him for it. I understand what's going on there. I mean, we can, you know, I mean, obviously, I read the Oilers blogosphere pretty extensively, and we could have that discussion forever, but the facts are on the ground are what they are.
Yeah.
He can't turn.
No.
And if you can't turn as a defenseman playing in the league as it currently exists with, you know, an emphasis more on speed, and you can't hold guys up anymore, or at least not as much as you used to be able to, yeah, he's, you can't count on him being a top six or a top four guy. It's just bad luck, really.
Robert, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll have you back.
All right, Alan. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that's Robert Cleve from Jets Nation. We also have Peter Labardius on, Kent Wilson as well from Flames Nation, Cam Moon from Red Deer Rebels, Ken Simpson. He'll be on tomorrow at 5 o'clock with Corey Graham and the Oil Kings, and Jason Greger as well. Talked a little bit about the Edmonton Oilers. This is Nation Radio. We're back next Saturday at noon. I'm out of here.